You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the 12th episode of Season 2 of Warriors Off Court, the San Francisco Chronicles NBA podcast. I'm your host, Warriors beat writer Connor Letourneau, and today I'm joined by sports columnist Ann Killian to discuss DeMarcus Cousins' Warriors debut. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Ann Killian is our award-winning sports columnist who's been known to write plenty of great stuff about the Warriors. We caught up Sunday afternoon before Warriors practice at UCLA.
Ann, thanks for joining me on the pod this week. I appreciate it. Here we are, just to kind of set the scene a little bit. We're in the Courtyard Marriott across the street from Staples Center, getting ready to go over to practice at your alma mater, UCLA. Is it kind of nice to be able to see the old campus while doing work?
Yeah, I'm psyched. I mean, it's the greatest campus in the world. I'm excited that they will be practicing there. As we know, a lot of NBA players spend their summers playing at UCLA and working out a lot there. So, yeah, it's cool. Of course, we're since it's LA, we don't know how long it'll take us to actually get to UCLA from downtown LA. But we're also watching the start of the Saints-Rams playoff game, which I can't believe Steve Kerr has scheduled practice right in the middle of this championship game because he grew up a Rams fan. What's up with that?
Yeah, not only did he grow up a Rams fan, but I know he's close personal friends with Jared Goff, and he has kind of a personal investment because he's tight with Goff's family. I know you did a great story a couple of days ago on Goff, talked to his dad. It actually worked out perfectly timing-wise, scheduling-wise, because you were planning to come down to L.A. a few weeks ago before we even knew that DeMarcus was going to be making his return against the Clippers. And then obviously the news comes out that he's going to be debuting against the Clippers and you were already planning to come. So that worked out great. What were your biggest takeaways from his debut? Obviously, I think a lot of people have been quick to make grand proclamations, myself included, about how they could be unstoppable with DeMarcus. What was your big takeaway?
Well, having covered a lot of Olympic USA basketball teams, including the one that KD, Draymond, Clay, and Boogie were all on together in 2016, it kind of looked that way at the start. It looked like an all-star team or a dream team. I think it's fun. I think it's fresh. You know, DeMarcus said it felt like Christmas Day for him. And I got to be honest, it felt that way a little bit for all of us in the media, because as great as this team is to cover, and obviously you spend 24/7 with them, whereas I, you know, float in and out. But we've been covering them for a long time now, and they're a great team to cover. Really talented players, really interesting guys to talk to. But it's exciting to have a new storyline and a fresh face and a really smart guy, another really articulate, interesting, thoughtful, unexpectedly kind of, you know, belies his reputation as being a difficult person, at least, you know, in these early days of going. I think DeMarcus has been really interesting to deal with. And it's just kind of fun to have this new storyline, you know, because the storylines in past January and Februarys were, okay, how are we going to get to the end of the season? And I think this not only presents a new face, but a new puzzle for the team, like an intellectual puzzle and an athletic puzzle of how to fit him in. I think it's a new personality. It's new chemistry. And it's also, I think, these guys, like him, and they also, I think it reminds them of how lucky they are to do what they do for a living, which I think they all know that anyway, but it's always a good reminder when you see someone who you know, almost had his career taken away because of an awful injury and how grateful he is to be back on the basketball court.
Didn't the other night kind of feel like a season opener again? Like it had that vibe of, you know, everything's exciting. There's so much optimism. It felt like a totally new season, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you and I had talked about that a little bit before the game. I mean, and it's mid-January. This is what are the dog days for an NBA team. So I think that that's only going to be a good thing for this team because it was a difficult first half. And to have this kind of, you know, exciting new kind of feel right in the middle of a season where you're, you know, trying to get to the finals for the fifth straight year and trying to, you know, three-peat and all of, and trying to fend off the haters and all the questions about free agency. It's just, this is, I think, a good thing for this team right now.
And, you know, just from an X's and O's standpoint, it's kind of funny how, you know, just a couple weeks ago, really a week ago, a lot of people were questioning, oh, will they actually be better with DeMarcus? You know, he might not be healthy. He might not be able to keep up with the pace. All it took was 15 minutes yeah, for all of those questions to kind of go out the window. I mean, yes, he still has a long ways to go. He obviously fouled out. You know, he's not in a rhythm the way he wants to be. That's pretty clear. But all that being said, it's pretty obvious that he makes them almost impossible to defend because this is a guy who can do work inside, can hit the open three-pointer. He's so skilled. He's a phenomenal passer too. And I think a lot of the concern about him, you know, being able to keep up with the pace of their offensive system, it's kind of funny because even if he can't keep up with their pace, he's still a threat because he's probably the best trailer in the league. You know, he can run behind the guys, camp at the top of the three-point arc, and just hit threes. And that's not such a bad option either.
No, as we saw, his game back, he hit 3 three-pointers, and he was laughing after the game about, you know, for the first time in probably his entire basketball career, he wasn't facing a double team and how weird that was for him. And that's right there in the nutshell is what other teams are going to face. They can't double anyone. You know, you really can't. And how he fits in, you know, his passing can start the break. He's, like you said, a great trailer. He's, I don't know. I just think it's fun. And he's such a physical force. Now we saw him obviously foul out. A lot of those fouls seem to be conditioning fouls, you know, and he was kind of joking about the new NBA and how you can't, you know, do as much as maybe you have been able to in the past. But he was grabbing and kind of hacking and, you know, seemed at times a little bit clumsy out there, a little bit, you know, he's grabbing his shorts. Conditioning's clearly an issue. But, I think it's just it adds a whole different element to what we've seen from this team in the past.
And, you know, you've obviously been covering. How long exactly have you been covering Bay Area sports? I'm not trying to age you or anything. I'm just
a hell of a long time since the early 90s.
Okay. Yeah. So that entire time, the Warriors have not had a skilled offensive player playing center.
No. Don't forget that the Warriors were, you know, the worst team in the league and they didn't have much skill doing anything pretty much. You know, can we go back to Joe Barry Carroll?
Yes, that is a good, I'm impressed. I'm always, anyone that can pull out a Joe Barry Carroll reference proves to me that they know their Warriors history. I was looking at the numbers, he is the last center that they had and he played in the mid-1980s, right, who could do things offensively. He wasn't a three-point shooter, obviously, but he averaged 24 a game one season. I think a lot of people kind of considered him disappointing because his talent, I'm not sure if he fully realized his potential, but the Warriors have not had anyone who could be a threat in the post like that since Joe Barry Carroll. That's how long it's been.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And of course, those teams that he was on, I mean, his nickname was Joe Barely Cares. So he was not very popular as, you know, very few of those Warriors teams did anything good, and were you know, whatever skill he had didn't really translate into anything good for the team. So yeah, this is great, and just to see, you know, him added into this, you know, unbelievable mix. And I like the chemistry off the floor already. I mean, you were witness to it way more than I am, but it just seems like they're having fun. He's a funny guy. He's, you know, obviously, while he was sitting on the bench watching this team for all those months, he got a real sense of what it's like to be this team in the spotlight, in the fishbowl. And he's kind of a private guy. He joked that the other night that he hopes that was the last time he was going to have to sit in front of a packed media room. Well, guess what, DeMarcus? It's not the last time. You're going to have to keep doing it. And if you guys get to where you want to be at the end of the year, there's going to be a lot more media. I just think it's an interesting experiment. And I thought what Doc Rivers said the other night was interesting too, in that, you know, a lot of people were furious that the Warriors could sign him, that they felt there was a feeling that somehow they manipulated the system. But it's the perfect situation for him because they could let him get healthy. There was no pressure to rush him back. They can mix him in without him being double and triple teamed and being the guy and all those things. So it's a great situation for him overall, and it's great for the Warriors.
And, you know, one thing I know you know even better than I do is when you want true insight on a player, when you want the real story, you call the mom. And so I called his mom a few days ago before his debut, and I asked her, you know, how he was feeling and blah, blah, blah. And she said that he's the happiest she's ever seen him, that he's more relaxed than she's ever seen him. I think he felt a lot of stress and pressure from being a franchise guy in Sacramento and, you know, in New Orleans, and coming into a situation where he doesn't have to be the guy has been a really positive thing for him. He's a team-oriented guy, and he likes the idea of just being one of the guys as opposed to the guy. And I think one of the coolest things I thought about the game the other night was that moment where he got the no call. He was obviously kind of hacked going up for a layup by Harrell, and then Draymond was so upset that he unleashed on the ref because of the no call on Cousins, and then got teed up. Which, how often do you see a guy get teed up for arguing a no call on one of his teammates? That was a cool moment that just reinforced, you know, the bond that he's already built with his teammates, and the fact that these guys really have his back. And so my question, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but, you know, you can't help but kind of look ahead a little bit and ask yourself, is there a world where he could come back next season? Because I know the salary cap ramifications. I know that they could only offer him a 20% raise. I know all that, but the guy is as happy as he's ever been, and it feels like this is a really good situation. Why mess with happy, right?
Well, I mean, he's happy because right now the situation that he personally chose, you know, and you've written that he was the one who got on the phone with Bob Myers, and Bob was like, are you serious? Like, he thought it was a joke until he actually talked to him on the phone. It appears to be working out, and he, at the end of this, he may prove to everyone that, you know, he's back, that he's a good teammate. It'll rehabilitate his image. He'll have maybe a ring, probably a ring. I would bet. I wouldn't bet against a ring. So, you know, I mean, he could be so happy that he would figure it out, but he also, having just almost had a career-ending injury, you know, you can't blame the guy if he's looking for a payday that will set up him and his children and his grandchildren for the rest of his life, of their lives. You know, I mean, it's a life changing, generational payday that he could be in for. So, let's see what happens.
He's already made like over $80 million.
Well, it's easy for us to say, but don't mess with someone else's earning power.
No, I get it. I mean, no, I'm not saying that he's going to come back next season, but it is an interesting thought, because let's say he came back for a 20% pay raise. After that, they have his bird rights. So then they could offer him way more money after that. So he only needs to take a pay cut for 1 year.
Right. Right. And he could choose to do that. I don't feel like I have any idea what any of these guys are going to do. The only one I would feel confident of thinking might end his career as a Golden State Warrior is Steph. But even that, I'm not sure about. So, you know, I can never guess. But I think the fact that he's happy. And the thing is, you know, I mean, I didn't deal with him that much, but I've always watched him. I have friends in Sacramento who are huge Kings fans. And I mean, I always felt like the guy got a raw deal. He was the franchise centerpiece of a totally dysfunctional franchise. And then, you know, his reputation when he was in New Orleans was pretty good because he was there with AD. And so there was a whole different vibe for him. And, you know, he is emotional. Everyone has always said I saw him in Rio at the Olympics, and I just saw a whole different side of him than what I thought I was going to see. He was funny. He was fun. He was totally into it. You know, he just seemed to be embracing the whole situation. And so, you know, I think that he's going to enjoy that too, that, you know, cause I think at heart, he's a nice guy. And he's going to enjoy not being the boogeyman, you know, having the bad reputation.
That being said, you know, he was still DeMarcus in his first game back, in that every foul that was called on him, he went straight at the ref and was pretty upset. I did notice him pull aside the ref a couple times in team huddles and stuff, and kind of make his case, which I thought was a sign of maturity to have a diplomatic conversation with the ref as opposed to only yelling at them right after the play. But he is who he is. I mean, the guy's been in the league for 8+ seasons now. I think he kind of is who he is. But I agree with you about his time in Sacramento. I mean, that was such a dysfunctional situation. There were a lot of things behind the scenes where they just really didn't treat him very well, and I don't blame him for being frustrated. And the guy was also 19 years old you know, when he was drafted by them, and you know, didn't even have a driver's license when he was drafted by them,
which is hard in Sacramento to not have a driver's license.
His mom, you know, drove him 4 hours one way to Birmingham for AAU practice. That's true love, and she has 5 other kids. But it's gonna be exciting. I'm curious to see more how he does defensively, because you know, we saw kind of a sneak peek, but the Clippers don't have any centers that are really going to scare you. Harrell's improved a lot, but you know, there's going to be a lot tougher tests down the line. I'm curious to see how he does against like a Steven Adams and a Joel Embiid and those kind of guys, because they're going to need him to at least be adequate defensively.
Oh yeah, but that's the thing, like now they have DeMarcus Cousins in the mix when they face those kind of guys, which, you know, is just such a different element to this team. So yeah, I mean, I think when you asked Steve a little bit about this the other night, I think it's really good that they're gonna go on the road for a while. They're gonna face some tough opponents, and they're gonna really all be together all the time. So they're really gonna learn a lot about you know, I mean, I think in the next 2 weeks, these puzzle pieces are going to fit together a lot more. And by the time he comes back and makes his debut at Oracle, I think it'll look smooth. And I think it's going to look pretty daunting to the opponents.
Can you imagine a world where they don't win the title this year?
Well, I mean, yeah, because I've seen how erratic they've played a lot this first half of the season. But at the same time, it does feel like a little bit of a different switch, gear shift right now with him, with Boogie coming. And I mean, I know that I don't know why this is like a new thing. Everyone's saying, do you take the Warriors or do you take the field? And a lot of people are taking the field. I would still take the Warriors. I just think there's too much talent. I think they're driven. I think they know how to perform when it counts, which is one of the reasons I thought the Christmas Day game was so weird, because it's very rare that we've seen them fall apart like that in a big national game. But it's still, you know, it was Christmas. It was a regular season game. So I think we're gonna see. I think at the end they're gonna be the the champions again.
Yeah, no, it's hard to imagine. I mean, I feel like even if a lot of things went wrong, I mean, when they didn't win the title against the Cavs a couple years ago, everything had to go wrong. And I feel like if they didn't win the title again this year, it would have to be like that, even to another level, where like just a cavalcade of injuries and everything.
Both Boogie and DeMarcus together. Getting suspended for games.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be a situation like that.
I don't see that happening, but you never know with injuries. I mean, that's the thing. Like, yeah. But if they just stay the path, I do think that, you know, they're the prohibitive favorite.
Well, Anne, I really appreciate you joining me. It's great having you down here.
That was Anne Killian, one of the Chronicle's sports columnists. I want to thank Anne for coming on. Thanks also to Keen Kaufman for editing this episode, and thank you for listening. Warriors Off Court is part of the San Francisco Chronicle Podcast Network. Audrey Cooper is the editor-in-chief. If you like this show, we'd love it if you'd subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a minute to give us a quick review, that helps us build our audience so we can keep growing. Follow me on Twitter at @con_cron and email me at claterno@sfchronicle.com. Support Warriors Off Court and a lot of great journalism with a subscription to the San Francisco Chronicle. There are print and digital editions. Find out more at sfchronicle.com/subscribe.